We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From the University of Oklahoma, this is a Sooner football special press conference with head football coach Lincoln Riley. Today's press conference is brought to you by Express Employment, putting a million people to work. Now here's the head football coach at the University of Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley. Coach.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Welcome. It's been a long time since seen a lot of you guys. So good to see everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Lots gone on since we last met. First, really excited to finish out this recruiting class. I know we got a chance after the first signing day, which has really become the real signing day, to talk about the majority of the class. But certainly excited to welcome Chandler, Josh Eaton, Reggie Grimes, all three of those guys. Certainly, we'll be here to answer any questions about them individually, but obviously three important players to kind of top off the class for us. Certainly to get a quarterback, which as we continued to evaluate that position, felt like that was the right thing to do, and felt like we kind of had the guy we wanted all along that fell back into our lap. Certainly with some of the situation that went on with Arkansas and Coach Morris. So obviously it was a tough situation for that family, but then ended up, I think, turning into a great thing for both. We were certainly excited to get Chandler here, and I know Chad's excited to get started at Auburn. So, felt very fortunate to be able to get a guy that honestly was our favorite quarterback in that class from second one. Reggie Grimes, very, very exciting young defensive player. He actually watched his high school film. He played a lot of tailback, which you love seeing for a guy that's, 6'4", 240 pounds already. But great athlete, has a great pedigree. Was just kind of one of those elite edge guys that we were really, really thrilled to get in here. And he's going to be, a really, really nice addition to that front. And then obviously Josh Eaton was certainly one of the top corners for us from second one. We've continued to preach in the defensive secondary, adding length and adding guys with documented speed, and he fits those two without a doubt. So we'll be excited to get those guys here with the rest of the class. About half our class came in mid-year, and it was great to get those guys off to a great start. I really feel like that's something that we've learned a lot about in the last few years. These guys coming in mid-year is different. It's a totally different approach. They kind of get thrown into the fire right away, as opposed to the players that come in summer and they're only maybe taking one or two classes and they kind of ease into everything. And when you come in mid-year, it's certainly not an ease in. It's a different transition, and I've been really proud about how this group has handled it so far. So staff has done a good job planning. These guys have handled it well, and our returning players have done a great job of helping those guys get acclimated. So very, very promising young group. I'm so excited to get going with those guys, and certainly excited to get on the field with spring ball coming here in just about a month. So, the rest of the team has had a really strong offseason, certainly here in the beginning. A lot of gains in the strength department. We're getting ready to start our coaches stations week next week, which is kind of a legendary week around here, has been for a long time, and one of the traditions that we've certainly carried forward. And so be a chance for our team to kind of all get together, compete, a lot of mental toughness, a chance for our coaches to certainly get back and kind of heavily involved on a day-to-day basis with our guys. So excited about that. And then we'll have 2 weeks coming up of workouts after our coaches stations week and then into spring ball. Plan is right now to get a couple of practices before spring break, come back after spring break, get the rest of the practices, and then as you guys saw, we've announced going to have the spring game on April the 18th, which we're fired up about. We're working on a game time. I know we'll get that announced here for you guys shortly. So it's been a lot of fun. It's certainly exciting to see this team starting to come together with the new additions and some of the young guys that we really felt like that have progressed. We can't wait to get started with these guys with coaching stations, and certainly can't wait for spring ball to get here.
Okay, we'll begin with Jason Kersey.
Yeah, Nick, and you mentioned that Chandler was your kind of favorite quarterback all along. Early on when you offered him, did you think it was going to be hard to get him with his dad being in Arkansas? And then can you also talk about how that kind of came together late?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a factor. And families, and we've dealt with coaches' sons before, and sometimes that's families do not want that, and sometimes if it's a great situation, they do. And I felt like all along that if Chandler didn't go play for his dad, that he would come here. We had a great relationship and thought it was a great fit. And frankly, we got to the point in this class where we said if we get Chandler, then obviously we're gonna take him, and if we can't get him, I to be honest, I didn't find another quarterback out there that we really fell in love with and we thought was the right guy for us. And so as time went on, obviously the situation at Arkansas happened. You know, Chandler and his family reached back out to us to see if we had interest, which we certainly did. Had good visits with him, his family. It's great dealing with the family that's been through this process, you know, and understood it, and it just ended up being the right fit, I think, for everybody in the end.
Eric Bailey?
Lincoln, when you were hired, you were 31, and you sat next to Coach Stoops when he announced your addition to the staff. What's it like now sitting in the chair you're at and introducing a 31-year-old DeMarco Murray to the staff?
Well, there's no question who the best athlete on the staff is now. I think about that some on these days, because I certainly remember all of that, and kind of crazy to think all that's happened, you know, in the time since then, all the success and the change of roles and all the fun that we've had, all the great things that have happened. So, but it excites you because I think there's a lot more of that in the future. Both of these guys, I know we'll talk about them both here in a minute, but both DeMarco and Jamar were, I just don't feel like we could have done any better. Both just the right guys, the right kind of people, the right kind of recruiters, coaches at the right time, just exactly what our program needed.
Toppers, Billo.
Lincoln, you were hit transfer portal hard, especially on defense. Did you see it coming at all?
Yeah.
How's that going to affect spring?
We did see it coming. I think it's a combination of, one, this day and age, you're going to lose a few guys in the transfer portal. I don't care who you are or where you are. It's going to happen. And then second, I think some of it is a result of our recruiting there continuing to improve. Better, younger talent. And then I think also, you know, just talking purely scheme fits for a couple of the guys. I think there's a few guys that certainly were recruited to, by previous staff for a radically different scheme. And this scheme was just not a great fit. And then I think we had a few guys at the end of the day that were certainly just looking for maybe a better chance and better opportunity to compete. I don't know that there was like one overlying factor that, you know, while we had so many, there were certainly several that we knew were coming or had an idea that they were coming. So not a surprise. I think we're dealing with it, you know, in the best way that we can, like a lot of people. You know, a lot of coaches this day and age are struggling to get to 85 scholarships. And, you know, for the general public out there, everybody, you would naturally think, well, if you lose a scholarship player, you can replace him. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, we have a hard cap of 25 per year. And you may have 30 scholarships available, but you can only bring in 25 new players. And that's counted, whether it's a high school player, a JUCO player, or even, you know, a graduate transfer. And so it's, you know, I know it's something that rules, you know, the rules committee, the NCAA, coaches, ADs, everybody's looking at, because it's, we're in a lot better situation than most places with it.
Joey Homer,
you've now got three coaches on your staff that also played here. What kind of impact can and does that have?
To me, it's never the reason why you hire somebody, but it's certainly a nice benefit. Guys that have lived it here and know what this place is about. You know, they're guys that chose here and chose to be here. And a lot of those guys had a lot of great options when it was their time to come out. And so, you know, they can kind of share their journey, certainly with our current players, with our recruits, have a history with our fans. I mean, I think it's a really, really nice bonus, but the key is finding the right individual. And if they happen to match up, then all the better.
James Hale.
Lincoln DeMarco was a great player here, but a lot of people didn't feel like he'd ever get into coaching. And so when he jumped into coaching, did that grab your attention? Did you know a lot about him? How did this really come together since he's only been coaching for 1 year?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a guy I felt like I knew a little bit just from being here, because I heard so much about him from second one. You knew the kind of player he was. I mean, everybody saw that, but I think the kind of person he was, the kind of worker, the guy that just kind of all around was excellent. And, you know, and seeing him translate it into a great NFL career, then be able to jump right into a broadcasting career and, you know, go right to calling games. I mean, just and do so well with that. And then I knew through, you know, he had spent a little bit of time up here, and then certainly obviously he's very close with Coach Gundy, and knew that he wanted to get into coaching, and it didn't surprise me that you know, Coach Sumlin gave him a chance at Arizona, you know, with his history and with his pedigree. And, you know, in talking with some of those people, even before we had a running back job open, it was very apparent that he had made a strong impression in a short amount of time, which is no surprise. I mean, he's done that in everything that I've been aware of, everything he's done since he got to OU. And so we had a good meeting after our running back job came open, and there was no question he was the right guy.
Kerry Murdock.
Lincoln, if you talked about the players that weren't a fit that transferred out, how much pressure did that kind of put on you guys to make, you know, the evaluations to bring in, you know, this class defensively, and how much excitement was there knowing that you were now being able to recruit to a system kind of for the first time?
Yeah, it was exciting. It was certainly different. And it's going to get more different in a positive way as we go on. But you could feel the results of making some of the jumps we did defensively. I mean, there's no I know you guys have gotten tired of me saying it, but it feels like recruiting offensively after the 2015 season. I mean, it was just we've had some success, you know, some big jumps with a lot of the same players. We're not as good yet as we're getting ready to be, but now we feel like we can go and have a great shot with anybody. And now those players can look and see the direct results. And, I mean, if you're a high school recruit and you sit there and say, you know, look what they did. They went and jumped, in some cases, 80, 100 spots in the national rankings in a lot of different major categories defensively. They did it with largely the same players in a number of months. What can they do with me in 2, 3, 4 years? And that's the same question that went through Kyler Murray's mind and went through Marquise's mind and went through CeeDee Lamb's mind and on down the line and Creed Humphrey's. I mean, those are the same things those kids thought about, and then they chose OU and have all reaped the benefits. And so this class defensively was a huge step in that direction, and it's going to get better.
Joey
Did you see some, just personally see some evaluations where, you know, maybe the guy isn't, you know, five stars, but you saw what, you know, the coaches were looking for that made you feel more confident?
I would say in this class, it's always interesting. And everybody wants to judge classes when they sign, which is the absolute worst time you can judge a class. That's always yet to be seen. I would say in this class that we had more on both sides of the ball, maybe guys that for whatever reason weren't highly ranked by recruiting service that we were absolutely thrilled with when they committed and signed with us. And so some years they go like that. I think you got to be confident and very assured in what you're looking for and the guys you target. And there's a lot of guys that we signed that we wouldn't trade for anybody.
Tyler Palmateer.
Like, and you guys announced the date for the spring game today, but the success of last year, the way at least the perceived success of having it at night, is there any talk that it could be at night?
It's a possibility. It is. We're going to have a couple of cool things happening around it, and there's certainly a lot of organizations. So hopefully we don't have to change it 2 or 3 days out, but we'll adjust if needed. But yeah, that's certainly a factor. There's no question the night atmosphere last year brought a unique kind of buzz into the stadium for a spring game. And we've talked a lot about how our fans were so great to handle the change and our administration, everybody. And so it's a factor, but there's a couple other things that are very important that day too that we got to work around.
And kind of another spring-related question. I was just curious, have you been able to gauge whether –
I've talked to Jalen, doing well. I've been able to stay in touch with him and a lot of our guys that are, getting ready to make next steps. So I'm going to let him handle that part of it, but I know he's enjoying the process and doing a great job so far.
A few more before we bring Jamar and DeMarco up. Jenny Carlson.
Hey, Lincoln, another question about the spring game. You seem to really like the Friday aspect of last year, too. Did you give any thought to potentially having a Friday night spring game? And if not, what were some of the factors in that?
We did kick it around. There were some cool benefits of it last year. Again, the weather was the biggest determining factor last year. I think in our mind, we sat there and said, if we're going to do another night game, though, let's go ahead and do it on Saturday. For families, for those that, that work Monday through Friday, being able to get here from maybe a little bit further distance, whether in-state or out-of-state. So we're trying to balance the recruiting schedule because it is such an important weekend, and then also, trying to do the best thing for the majority of our fans. So we thought the weekend maybe gives a few more people an opportunity to get here and enjoy, obviously, the game, and then, again, there's going to be a lot of pretty cool things around it as well.
Garrett
Lincoln, I want to ask you about resources. It seems to become a bigger deal every year, budgets and staff sizes. And I mean, we used to ask Bob all the time about facilities. It seems like now we're asking coaches about resources, what they've got. For you to keep up with the likes of Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and the money that's pouring into the Big Ten and the SEC, how concerned are you here? You're supported here, I know that, but I mean, how concerned are you that you keep up with what they've got to offer in terms of just resources and helping you do that job?
Yeah, no, good question. I don't think concerned is the right word because I know the support of our fan base, our donors, our administration. I know that, I think we're very aligned in where we're headed, but I think everybody realizes that we've got to continue to push forward. We've had a great run in the last several years, both on the field, what we've done facility-wise. There's been so many positives, but we can't sit back and just think about, oh, well, we have one of the top facilities now, this or that. We've got to keep pushing, and that's kind of been our message from day one. Is you got to appreciate the great things and appreciate the success and all that because it is hard to come by, and I think the resources are a part of it, certainly. Us continuing to do our job at a high level and continuing to get better as a program is a part of it, and it takes us all. I mean, it's people want to continue to have the success that we've had. If we want to continue to push to to take the next step and to keep winning championships and to keep competing for and eventually winning national championships, then everybody's got to be going the same direction and everybody's got to continue to push forward. And I think we've got a group that's ready to do that. And, you know, frankly, this place wouldn't be nearly as appealing as it is to me or, you know, some of these great coaches that we have here if we didn't have that, but we do. And but the key is we got to keep pushing, all of us.
Marco, recent player here, but also recent in the NFL. How much that play in the fact, I mean, he's going to get some notices just for him, if not OU, the NFL, or both. Not that you had trouble recruiting running backs, but how does that help you? Then another related question to last season. The guys suspended, are they going to have to miss games next season?
First question on DeMarco. Similar answer to me about, you know, hiring a former player. It's a great thing, you know, him playing in the NFL, having the kind of career he did, the name recognition, all of that's great. But that in itself to me is never the reason to hire somebody. You got to see somebody that's the kind of person, the kind of worker, the kind of coach, the kind of recruiter that you want. And then if they have those things, to me, it's just an added bonus. So, but certainly was not the reason that we wanted to hire him. But there's no doubt with our recruits, our current players. I mean, you know, all these guys that grew up watching him play, and to say that's not a factor in those relationships, would not be accurate as well either. So I think it'll be a great benefit for us. As far as the other guys, we'll get to that at a later date. There's, you know, processes ongoing, so I don't have anything further right now.
Okay, last one, Ryan Aber.
Lincoln, going back to DeMarco, one, how much of a relationship did you have with him before? And two, what are the benefits and the challenges of a guy who, one, came into coaching late comparatively, and that only has 1 year of coaching?
Our relationship, I would say, was limited. You know, from my perspective, I knew a lot about him as a player, and then, like I said, I learned a lot about him even before getting a chance to spend a lot of time with him up here. You know, having the guy that been in the meeting room the last 5 years with the guy that recruited him and coached him, you know, you know a lot about a guy. And and then DeMarco came through at various times through the last several years and had a chance to meet him and spend some time around him. You kind of get a feel for his presence and the kind of guy he is. And then I was, you know, I went into, you know, when we sat down and interviewed DeMarco, I went into it saying, look, I'm interviewing this like this is some guy I've never seen play ball, that I have no idea where he went to college. I just want to see what the coach is about. And it was very, it's like with, you know, really good players, you can see it like right away, like you just know, there's no doubt. And you could tell that with him as a coach. I mean, that from second one, you could tell he was well beyond his years, that he had, I think a lot of players think they know what coaching is about, and they maybe weren't near as perceptive or when they were players and maybe didn't pick up on as much as they thought they did. And then they get on the other side of it and it's totally different. And I think DeMarco's one of those guys that probably took a lot from every single experience. It certainly appears that way and has been a quick riser, and it was really kind of a no-brainer. And I would say the same thing about Jamar. Jamar had certainly a different path, but another guy that, you know, Alex and I sat down with him for a few minutes, and it was, again, when you just know, you know. I mean, I've never been one of those guys that's going to sit there and interview 20 people. That's not me. I've always been a little bit more decisive with the hires we've had here. And these two guys, very quickly, I knew within talking to these guys for 10 minutes that I wanted these guys on our staff, and thrilled to get them both.
Okay. We're going to pause and bring in Jamar and DeMarco.
Now stepping up to the and joining Coach Riley on the dais are the two newest members of the OU coaching staff, outside linebackers coach Jamar Cain and running backs coach DeMarco Murray. They're both joining Coach Riley at the dais.
You got it. Go for it, Doc. Go for it.
Yeah.
No, All right. Yeah, obviously we had a chance to visit about these two, but excited to welcome both Jamar and DeMarco. Jamar's responsibilities, do want to clarify, a little bit different than the release that we put out. He'll coach our outside linebackers and our defensive ends. Calvin Thibodeau will remain as the defensive line coach. As you guys know, we're very multiple in the front, so those guys will certainly be working together quite a bit. There'll be a few of our players that are pretty versatile that will have some crossover, some carryover between both coaches. But as Coach Grinch and I, one, kind of looked at the responsibilities of our coaching staff and looked at potential candidates, we knew this setup was something that we were interested in. And so Jamar's experience certainly throughout his career and his knowledge of the game, in addition to how great a job he's done recruiting most recently at Arizona State, you know, made that really a pretty easy decision for us. So excited to kind of have the 1-2 punch there of both Jamar and Calvin there on the defensive front, and really, really excited about how well those two are going to work together. So thrilled to welcome these two guys here. So you guys have Adam.
Okay, first question on the right, Jenny Carlson.
Hey, Jamar, Jenny Carlson with The Oklahoman. Your success recruiting, Lincoln just alluded to, at Arizona State, three of the top 30 guys out of California you get last year. How have you had such success? What do you sort of attribute that to? And then how do you balance that with bringing guys in and developing, because that's something you've done over your career as well?
I think the success comes from just building relationships with coaches, players, and just being consistent in my behavior with the kids and always staying even keel. And even if they tell you no right away, just kind of stay consistent and continuing to talk to them and just building relationships throughout the years. And it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So usually these things last for about a year and a half, however long it goes, but you just got to stay consistent with the kids. And then when you get them in, you just got to build them up from day one. That's what I thought. I've always done pretty well and build them up from day one and continue just to coach them every day. That's what I try to do.
We'll go to the middle, Kerry Murdoch.
DeMarco, when you gave up that broadcasting career, did you think in a year and a half you'd be a coach at Oklahoma ever?
I didn't, but it was definitely a dream of mine to obviously end up back here and be at this prestigious program and place where it started for me, and I consider it home, even though I'm from Las Vegas, but this was a place that helped jumpstart me professionally and on and off the field. So just the people in this organization and having a chance to come back here and obviously learn and help, you know, compete for a lot of championships. You know, I was very privileged to have that opportunity.
Was it just you wanted to be closer to football than the broadcast booth? Why you made that decision in the first place?
Yeah, I did. You know, I enjoyed the broadcasting, and I knew at some point I wanted to get into coaching. That was my calling. I missed a game, and, you know, what better place to obviously be here. And, you know, when I retired, you know, broadcasting was a step. But like I said, you know, coaching was somewhere in my future. I didn't know when or how, but I was able to be a coach with Coach Sumlin, the guy who was here with me, and he gave me that opportunity. So I'm very thankful for him, you know, and bringing me in. But I'm extremely excited to be here.
You guys will love this. Actually, DeMarco doesn't know that I know this, but after word broke that we were going to be looking for a new running back coach, I was actually in Dallas recruiting with Coach Gundy, and he showed me his phone, and DeMarco sent him a text with the eyeballs. So, I thought that was a good recruit for us there as well.
I did. I saw the news, and at first I was shocked because I didn't know anything, but you know, I did send him the emoji eyes, and that's all I sent.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he showed you that.
So. Yeah, yeah. Those have been pretty good around here.
Yeah. Okay,
we'll stay in the middle, Eric Bailey.
DeMarco, what was your immediate thought as soon as Oklahoma reached out to you, and how much have you admired this offense from afar?
A lot. I've always paid attention to Oklahoma ever since I left 12 years ago, and this is a place for me that, once again, I consider it home, and a lot of familiar faces and people here. And that reasoning is because it's a family program, and you don't stay around here for a long time if you're not doing the right things consistently. And when I first got the call and, you know, the opportunity to interview, I mean, I was extremely excited. nervous and but excited, you know, just for the opportunity to obviously go in there and interview and hopefully, you know, have a chance to you know, impress those guys and go about it that way. But I'm extremely happy to be back, and this is, you know, surreal. It's very surreal to be back, and I'm excited.
Okay, far right, Barry Trammell.
Yeah, for both of you, did you guys know each other before this came together? You shared a field together in November. Went better for Jamar. But did you guys know each other at all? And what?
First day I walked in here, DeMarco said, "Hey, happy we're on the same team now."
Yeah, so. my backs didn't have a good success that game, so because of him. But yeah, I'm happy to obviously be with him now.
Okay, James Hale.
Jamar, you coach with under Herm Edwards, who's really a great guy and a great coach. And from reading things about you, you guys were pretty close. So how tough was it to leave him, and what was it about Oklahoma that got you away from a mentor like that?
First of all, I'm so thankful that Herm gave me the opportunity to come to Arizona State. You know, as I didn't want to go in there his office and talk to him. I kept delaying it. And I was like, you got to go talk to him. And Herm is like a grandfather, a father figure to everybody. So I was walking to his office, and the secretaries grabbed me and gave me a hug because everybody knew I was leaving. Then Herm was walking out of his office, and he gave me a big old hug. I was like, man, come on in here. Let's talk. So that just gave me a sense of comfort. But you know, when I went there and talked to him, he was so excited for me. He said, I'm happy for you and your family and Coach Riley and what we're doing here at Oklahoma. It's going to be a good deal for you. But it was tough to talk to him just because he's such a father figure to everybody. He's a great mentor. He's a great man. And you got to listen more than you talk around him because you're gonna forget some stuff. You know what I mean? So he's just – it was tough. And then, you know, it's Oklahoma and the opportunity to work for Coach Riley, work for Alex Grinch, and the guy that I've had a – great affinity for since everything he's done at Washington State and then stuff he did at Ohio State. And we almost crossed paths at Wyoming. He was walking out the door. I was walking in the door. So just hearing all that stuff about Alex, I was excited to be here. And you can't tell Oklahoma no.
Okay. Second row middle, John Hoover.
Yeah, DeMarco, welcome back. First of all, when you were playing, did you think post-football career I want to be a coach? Was that part of your decision? And then as your career started winding down, whatever that was, were you ever thinking, man, if I could just get back to Oklahoma or something like that?
Yeah, I always knew I wanted to be a coach at some point in my life when I was done playing. I've had such a great upbringing with family, friends, coaches that have helped me on and off the field, and I wouldn't be where I am now, especially from a lot of the coaches here. And it's always a point to me to, you know, what can I do to help young guys and young athletes pursue their goals? And and coaching, you know, what better way to do it, obviously being here. And I just didn't know when or how I was going to get into the profession. And when I got the call from Coach Sumlin a year ago, I was obviously excited and accepted it. And having the opportunity when the running back job opened up here, sent the emoji eyes to Gundy. And then, you know, I just, you know, felt that, you know, I just wanted the interview. And I didn't, you know, call anyone, ask them to do this or do that. Obviously, it's Coach Lincoln's decision, and I didn't want to influence him in any way or make a call. So, you know, I've always had it in my mind to be a coach. I just didn't know the timing, you know, aspect of it.
When you, quick follow-up, when you were, before you said when you got the call from Kevin Sumlin, was that a deal where you had let it known, put it out there, I want to move into coaching? Because you had gotten rave reviews on television. Everybody thought, well, DeMarco's future is obviously in television. Or did someone call you and say, come coach?
No, I hadn't put any fillers out there. I was, you know, to be honest, I 34, 35. That's when I kind of wanted to go into the coaching route, wanted to spent some time with my family, and after a year, my wife was ready for me to get out of the house. But, you know, I didn't. I called one of his games, I think week 5 or week 6, and that's kind of how we reconnected, but there was never any conversation about, hey, if you have a job or anything like that. I was enjoying the TV with Fox, and when the opportunity presented itself, like I said, with a guy that I knew, a guy that I trusted and knew that I can learn from, you know, I wanted to obviously take the opportunity to do that.
Is it harder than you thought?
It is, you know, but it's fun, and it's a challenge, but, you know, that's what I'm used to. You know, my whole life, it's always been a competitive atmosphere in everything that I've done, and this is where you want to be. This is, you know, I know it's not easy, and you know, I'm excited about the process, and excited to obviously learn and get better every single day.
Okay, right side, Tyler Palmateer.
DeMarco, you just kind of touched on this, but what was the most challenging part about going from playing the position to, you know, talking about football to then coaching it and making adjustments on the field, things of that nature?
For me, honestly, it was the fact that I had no control when they were on the field, you know, and I trusted my players, and obviously you give them all the tools and they're very receptive. But just the fact that you're on the sidelines, you really don't have, you know, the physical control over it in that aspect. But it's been a very smooth and easy transition, to be honest, only because of the coaching staff that I was a part of last year and now coming to the staff. And, you know, they've obviously been doing it a lot longer than I have, but I think it marries with, you know, what I've been able to do and just learning and listening and taking notes, you know, from everyone, whether it's offensively, defensively, special teams-wise. You know, I pride myself on watching everyone and learning, you know, good, bad, ugly, whatever the case may be. You know, there's always something you can take from it.
Do you have one experience specifically that stands out in terms that you felt was really eye-opening on the coaching side of things?
I would say, you know, how receptive and respectful they are. You know, nowadays things are a lot different. You know, when I was growing up and going through this process, it was about traditions and things of that nature. Now you move on and it's about uniforms and certain things of that nature. But, you know, I kind of wouldn't say I lost touch with the youth, but you hear certain things and you see how things are going. But, you know, just the recruiting aspect and the kids that we had on our team a year ago, even the kids now, I mean, they're extremely bright kids. They're very receptive, like I said. But I think that's, and you know, all they want to do is learn and get better and compete. So, you know, that's a great thing for me.
Second row, Jason Kersey.
And DeMarco, does your success that you had in the NFL, does that help in recruiting? And specifically, everybody knows how important Dallas is to OU's recruiting because of your success with the Cowboys. Does that open more doors for you? Are kids more receptive to you because of your success in the NFL?
To a certain degree. Obviously, you know, we know what my history was, but that's not something that I live on and approach it that way. I know there's a lot that goes into recruiting and getting to know the families and getting to know that player on a deeper level, an emotional level that you have to connect with. So I think to a certain aspect, and, you know, that's not something that I talk about. That's not something that I, you know, put out there and say, hey, this is who I am, so you should give me an opportunity. You know, that's to me, it's sort of irrelevant. You know, it takes a lot deeper path and a deeper emotional connection to get into it with these kids and their families.
Well, why is that? Why do you view that as irrelevant?
I wouldn't say that. Maybe I used the wrong word, but I wouldn't. That's not a slam dunk to get you, you know, into that relationship with that kid. You know, obviously they know, I know, and that's not a recruiting pitch for me.
Keegan Renault.
Lincoln, Jamar had no immediate connection to you or Alex. How did he become a target for you guys, and what was it about his background that intrigued you?
His name got brought to me by a couple of people that I really trust in the business, as did a lot of other names. And I just started researching him. And one, I found a guy that had success everywhere he's been. And then when you look at what he's done recruiting-wise in the last few years, he was just simply looking at those two things. We said, all right, we at least got to talk to this guy. And I'd never met Jamar, you know, before he walked in the door to come sit down with Alex and I. And some people just grab you. They do. And he grabbed my attention quickly because he was just very – he said it in his answer – he's very confident and very kind of has a very focused approach to both recruiting and coaching and developing these kids. And it's been tested through time. It's been tested at different universities under different defensive coordinators. And then as I started talking to a lot of the coaches that he had worked for, all the answers were the same. It was the same conversations every single time. So you love the consistency that he's had. So it was just – it was the right fit at the right time, and you know, we know, you know, how competitive certainly the defensive line, defensive end, outside linebackers. I mean, those type of bodies, there's the least amount of them. They're the hardest to find, and everybody wants them. And so you gotta be an elite recruiter. You gotta be an elite developer of talent. And then as we got to know, you know, Jamar, his family, they fit in with our culture here, our family atmosphere. It checked every single box.
Okay.
right side, Garrett Eden.
Yeah. Hey, DeMarco. Good to see you again. I wanted to ask about Cale and his influence on you in terms of coaching. Is there something that you have borrowed from him in terms of how he taught you that you now teach your running backs?
Yeah, honestly, there's a lot of similarities that I took from him last year, my first year coaching. I mean, accountability is one, and treating everyone the same, no matter if you're a walk-on or a starter. And he's a guy that obviously played a pivotal part in my growth as a player and as a man off the field. So he's obviously, I've stayed in touch with him since I left, and tremendous amount of respect for who he is as a man, coach, and recruiter. He does a great job in all three areas, and so there's a lot of drills, a lot of sayings, a lot of things that I do that's very similar to how he does it, and you know, it's helped me throughout the course of my career playing and my first year coaching as well.
Did you bounce the idea of becoming a coach off of him?
I did. When I first got the call from Coach Sumlin, first person I called was Jason Witten, who was best friend of mine, and second person I called was Coach Stoops, who's obviously a guy that I still keep in contact with. And, you know, just to hear their advice. And Gundy was also, you know, third or fourth person that I called. Obviously, him having a relationship with Coach Sumlin and knowing the coaching, you know, atmosphere and the time and whatnot. So I've always stayed in touch with him, you know, good, bad, ugly. And he's always been a positive mentor for me and just kind of bouncing ideas and things off that, you know, I may need someone outside of my family to talk to about.
Just a few more. Kerry Murdoch.
Lincoln, I'm just curious, when you go out to hire an assistant coach, how much does kind of your background play into what you're looking for, and just that, you know, Ruffin gave you that chance, and how much does that play into, do you look for guys that, you know, might be, you know, have some of those same qualities you had, you know, wanting to be a coach?
That's honestly a tough question to answer, because I think every hire is so different. You know, I've worked for guys. I've been lucky. The guys I've worked for in the past, I think, I've always thought the best coaches, as far as hiring assistant coaches, they don't care a whole lot about what the outside thinks. They're not necessarily trying to win the press conference. They're not. They're just simply hire the best person to do the job at the place that they can. You know, and I learned that at first. I mean, I thought that was always one of Mike Leach's strongest qualities. You know, he hired a bunch of no-name guys there that nobody had ever heard of, and now it's, you know, littered with head coaches and coordinators all across the country. I thought Ruffin did a great job of it as well. And then, you know, being here for a couple of Bob's hires, or involved with a few when I got here, I always appreciated how decisive he was. I mean, he found his guy. He didn't waste a whole lot of time. That's always kind of been my feel. I mean, you know, I don't want to sit here and go through the number of guys I've interviewed for spots, you know, coaching spots in our staff since I've been here, but it's not a whole lot. I mean, I think you find the person and you lay out the qualities, and then I think the last part for me is I've always placed such a strong value on staff chemistry and how well you do your job, but also how well do you work with the other people, and that's a big part of my feel in the interview process. When I talk to other coaches that have worked with a particular candidate, that's normally one of my first questions is, how does he get along with everybody? How does he get along with the players, the coaches, the support staff? Because I think that part is so key, and we've been lucky. We've had a lot of great staff chemistry, and so it's a fun process. I enjoy it because it's always exciting to, in any way that it transpires, it's always exciting to have a chance to bring in new people and people that you think can make you better. And I think these two guys make us better.
Okay, far right, Jenny Carlson.
Yeah, Lincoln, it feels a little bit like a rewind to Bob's early days with the age of this staff. Yeah. This is an increasingly young staff. Yeah. I know you're going to miss Ruffin for a lot of reasons, but what does that do for a staff? What does that do for a program to have so many guys? I think your oldest is 47 on the staff. Like, what does that do for you to have so many young guys on the staff?
Well, I think it's great for a lot of reasons. I think, obviously, the recruiting, you know, right off the top. I mean, I think the energy level, and then I think you maybe referencing the previous question, if I do look for any characteristic that I felt like it has been important to you know, any success that I've been a part of, I think guys that have that edge to continue to prove themselves, you know, I still feel that way. Just like I did the first day I started coaching, I still feel like I'm trying to prove myself every single day and that I have to, and certainly look for guys that have that same edge about them and that same competitiveness, and not guys, and not that an older coach doesn't have that, but I think some of the younger guys that we've hired, I think we share that, and just that edge and that competitiveness every day, and you have to have that in this job from what it takes to recruit the great players, what it takes to develop the guys and that you have here currently to give them support that they need. It takes a lot. And so I didn't go out saying we had to replace these two positions with two, you know, quote unquote, younger guys, but they were just the right fit and bring the right mentality to it.
Okay, last question, Barry Trammell.
Jamar, Lincoln paints a nice picture about the progress of the Oklahoma defense. But defense in the Big 12 for several years has been a punching bag nationally. Were you aware of the perception of Big 12 and Oklahoma defense, and what can you do to sort of counter that perception when you go on the recruiting trail?
You just got to work hard every day, honestly. Just got to work hard every day, and at some point we'll get better, and everybody will get better. But I think you've got to work hard every day at recruiting and, you know, doing the little things on the field at practice. And, the selling point is coming here and working with Grinch and working with Coach Riley. I mean, Grinch just has a history of getting defenses turned around. I mean, he had a top 10 defense at Washington State. So that just sells itself. Like at Washington State, you're not getting the same athletes that USC is getting and Oregon's getting and even Arizona State, but he had a top 10 defense. And we're definitely going to get there. And just, I'm excited to work with Grinch, work with Coach Riley. Hopefully I answered that question right for you.
You did great. Yeah, you did great.
All right, that's it for this portion of the presser. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to head football coach Lincoln Riley and the two newest members of the Sooner coaching staff, outside linebackers coach Jamar Cain and running backs coach DeMarco Murray. Thank you for listening to this special Sooner football press conference presented by Express Employment. For the Sooner Sports Network and Learfield IMG College, I'm Michael Dean.